Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So far in our life together, Renee and I have owned two houses. The first was back in Oregon in the 1980s. The second one is right over here in Dogtown, about a mile and a half away. Between the selling of the first house and the buying of the second, there's about a 25-year gap. Now, there's a big difference between owning a house then and owning a house now. And here it is. YouTube videos. Do-it-yourself YouTube videos. That's right. If I do not know how to do something, and there's lots I don't know how to do, the chances are pretty good that I can find a video that shows me how to do it. Now, some of these, as you probably know, are really high-quality productions. Some of them have obviously done on somebody's smartphone. The ones I like the best are where the guy's kind of beefy, and if his name is Bud, then I trust those all the way. Now, not all those videos are the same, right? So some of them actually show me things that I can, in fact, learn how to do, and I'm very proud to say that I've done them. Others, you watch them, and they tell you, oh yeah, this is easy, you can do that. And I say to myself, I don't think so. By the way, most of those involve the category of electricity. But I've actually seen a couple of them that come at you like this. They're honest. They say, yeah, okay, if you got lightning bolts shooting out of your breaker panel in your garage, here's how you fix it. But if you're not a professional, you probably shouldn't try it. So you need to know what kind of video you're watching. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that it would be a mistake to read our lesson from Matthew 4 as if it were a do-it-yourself video on how to resist temptation. I realize it's often read that way. In fact, I checked. I have at least one sermon in my files where I read it that way. But that only works if you don't pay close attention to what's going on. So for just a couple of minutes, we'll pay some attention. And I want to ask and answer very quickly, and you can go quickly in a seminary crowd because people know stuff, right? I want to ask and answer two questions. And the first question is this. Out there in the wilderness, who is Jesus? The Spirit has brought him into direct conflict with Satan. I have no idea what that was like, but that's what it says. But who is he? Well, he's the Son of God. What does that mean? It means he's the people of God. Jesus is out there, the nation of Israel. Because long ago, through Moses, God had said to Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my people go. And long ago, God had said through Hosea, out of Egypt, I called my son. And Matthew takes this up, and in many and various ways, actually, he offers to us a profound corporate understanding of Jesus. Jesus sums up the Old Testament people of God. He is Israel. He is the Son of God. First question answered. Second question, why is Jesus out there? Answer, because Israel had failed. The people of God were weak, tested by God in the wilderness. They gave in, they murmured. Jesus is out there because Israel needed someone to represent them, someone to take their place. Jesus is out there because Israel blew it. But you see, that means that Jesus is not an example to follow. He's following an example, a really bad example. Because Israel did not learn to live on every word that comes from God's mouth, and they were very happy to put God to the test. And at times, it seemed to them all too convenient to worship and serve some other god. So Jesus is not out there to set an example for Israel. And I would submit that he's not out there to submit to offer an example for you. Because this battle is too hard. This conflict is too difficult for you. Jesus is out there doing battle with God's great enemy and with yours, with the Satan, with the accuser. And nobody can fight that battle but Jesus. The battle consists of this: will you use your power, your vocation, your identity to make your life easier? Will you get along on the bread that perishes? Now, you know what you've chosen, just as I know what I have chosen far too often, just as Israel did long ago. But Jesus never chooses the path of least resistance, not once. He depends on every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. The battle consists of this: will you wonder whether God's ways are right? Will you wonder whether God can be trusted? Will you put him to the test? You can't win that battle. I've lost it already many times before. But Jesus never doubts. Not even in the garden, when he knows the plan and he doesn't want it. Jesus never doubts God, not once. The battle consists of this: who are you with? Whom will you serve? To whom do you belong? The greatest battle of all. Now, here we are today, we're baptized, we confess that Jesus is Lord, and so yes, you and I worship the true God, the God of Israel. But how many times have I taken that first step, or maybe even the second or the third step, toward repudiating the God to whom I belong? That battle is too hard for me. But Jesus never does anything, or says anything, or thinks anything apart from the Lord his God. There in the desert, he joins the battle with Satan, and he wins. He wins. He turns the dry place of failure into an oasis of faithfulness. And that is, in fact, why we are here looking on, watching the battle. That's not for you to fight or for me. It's for him. Because he won. There in the desert, later in the garden, all the way to the glorious battle on the tree, and then bursting forth in victory for me and for you. Well, we're watching, all right. But it's not so that we can become like Jesus. It's so that we can belong to him. It's so that we can be with him to this very day. On God's YouTube channel, this is not "Show me how to resist temptation." This is "Show me the faithfulness of Jesus." And baptized, we say, "I'm with him." So is there nothing here for us? Because we do face battles, is there nothing for our struggle? I think there is. And it may work like this. When the temptation comes for you to stop caring, to pull back, to play it safe, here's what you do. You say to that temptation and you say, "No, no thanks. I'm with Jesus." When the temptation comes for you to run after something you shouldn't have, something, someone, some feeling, some whatever, you face that temptation and you say, no thanks, I'm with Jesus. And when the temptation comes to discouragement and to wondering whether it's worth it at all, after all, you just play this video and you watch the faithfulness of Jesus for you. And to the question, is it worth it? We say, well, yes, it is. Because we're with the faithful one. We're with Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.